several friends to get together to discuss G.I. Joe, as well as other hobbies and interests. I'm Joel. With me is Jason, and we welcome you to join our conversation. This time, we're discussing our CoilCon 2019 experiences.
I decided to come up with Todd. He decided a table. I think our plan was to meet you and Nicole there at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. For whatever reason, we were just on a mission, and we got there at like 1 in the afternoon.
We did have the unrealistic plans of this miracle time where we would both show up to the hotel at the same time. Nicole and I would burst through the doors, help you guys load in and set up. And as much as I was dead set on doing that, I also kind of knew that that was never going to happen. And we ended up getting there quite a bit later than we wanted because we hit some... Well, we stopped in Columbus for lunch. I have a friend that lives there, and we met up with him for lunch. But leaving Columbus, it must have just been that sweet spot for rush hour because it took us between 45 minutes and an hour just to get out of Columbus. So by the time we actually hit the highway from Columbus, we were running about an hour and a half behind schedule.
Ryan was with us and we had lunch. And then it only took us, even with chatting with Roma Collectibles and helping Toy Attic unload and set up, only took us about 90 minutes. We ended up being pretty easy going. And so by the time you guys were in town, we met up with you guys at Fox and the Hound.
We got there a few minutes before you, and we walked in, and on one side of the restaurant, there was a private party for a going away party. The floor of the restaurant was, I would say, moderately busy for a Friday evening. Nothing too crazy, but nothing. It was like, was not dead by any means. Then I walked over into the CoilCon room, and I saw a few faces I recognized. Wasn't a ton of people there, and we weren't really hungry yet, but I thought maybe I'd order a snack or something, but I kind of just was waiting for you to get there, and I quickly noticed that there was one server for our entire party room, which consisted of 25-ish people, maybe. And most of those people are on separate checks. Our server, unfortunately, was doomed from the start.
She really was. She did a great job for what she was given to work with. Honestly, for me, Fox and Hound was great because I did get to meet Nicole. You know, when I walked in, I recognized a lot of people that I didn't really know. But I was with some good friends. I had a nice time, even though the service was terrible. Not her specifically, but just in general because of the restaurant.
Luckily for me, we had eaten, so I wasn't concerned with getting dinner, where unfortunately for you, Todd and Ryan, you guys were starving. You guys put the order in for your drinks, for your food, and we quickly realized that, you know, it took about a half hour to get the drinks. And we kind of knew that we probably were not going to make it back to the hotel in time to meet up with the swap meet when it actually started.
You know, as soon as we got out of the car, before we even got to the swap meet, Todd was like, hey, do you want to get this thing out of my car?
Yeah, so I made my first purchase of the night before the swap meet, before I had stepped foot inside of the hotel of the convention, because I was staying at a hotel just a couple minutes away because I, like a bozo, waited too long to book the hotel of the convention. And when it came time to book it, I could not get a room for both nights. I could only get it for one of the nights I wanted to stay separately. So you and I had discussed the Phantom X-19 in very deep and annoying detail over and over again. Basically me asking you to put modern figures in it, me asking you to send me pictures of the modern figures in it, me asking you to tell me your thoughts and feelings of the Phantom X-19, and then still, you know, kicking the idea around because I don't really do vintage stuff that often. I was watching a YouTube video, an HTC video, and he opens a box and pulls out this massive, beautiful Phantom. And I immediately closed the YouTube app on my phone and texted you and said, go ahead and tell Todd I'm going to grab that Phantom X19.
He was pleased, and it was fun for me as well.
For me, it was nice because I had the comfort of knowing that I was buying it from a friend of a friend, and my friend, who is a vintage collector, had a chance to put his hands on the item, and I knew that I wasn't going to get, you know, bamboozled or get a bad item or whatever. So yeah, it was also funny because it, you know, it came with the box, came with all the blueprints, the insert for the box, and you know, I'm sure someone out there would be jumping for joy for this. Well, I think it's beautiful, and the box will find its place somehow on top of something in my room because it is massive. It's just funny for me to think that I have a vintage vehicle complete with box, blueprints, and insert, and that might be the only vintage item on display in my entire room, maybe. I think I have a Maggot. It was a very fun way to kick off the evening.
I know we went to the floor immediately and saw a toy department was setting up, and they were like, no, the swap meet's in the other room. And that's also where, so I know you're not on Facebook, but there's a Facebook group called Trader PX, and a bunch of their admins came in town for this show from all over the country. They were having a meetup at the same time in the same place as the room swap. And the room swap was not huge, one, because it's a small show, but also two, because by the time we all finished up at Fox and the Hound, I know a lot of the people we talked to on our way out of the restaurant were like, yeah, we were going to do the swap meet, but we're kind of burned out at this point. We're going to just go head to bed. So I think the swap meet would have been and should have been bigger, but for what it was still pretty lively. And, you know, I was kind of just hanging out, helping Todd with his stuff, as well as, you know, making my way looking. I had nothing like super in mind, and I knew a lot of the people in the room, so I was doing a ton of chatting instead of a ton of buying, but that is also very much my MO. I am the slow shopper.
There was not much for me as a modern collector. Pawed around the room. I saw maybe one or two 25th anniversary items. I saw a couple Rise of Cobra items. And the gentleman showed up with a bin full of modern stuff. I got really excited. I was flipping through his bin. I saw a bunch of figures I like. Well, I say a bunch. He had probably six Pursuit of Cobra figures, or four Pursuit of Cobra figures, and a bunch of 25th. And I was looking at him, nothing too rare or, you know, anything. And I asked him the price, and he told me the price, and I was a little bit in shock because I was like, that seems a bit high. And I kind of looked at him, and he looked at me. He goes, oh, I probably should tell you, these are all Canadian card backs. So then I looked at the card. I go, oh, yeah, these are different than the cards I recognize. So that's not, I don't really collect carded figures. I don't collect card variations. So for me, you know, I have no idea what the price on something like that is for a modern figure. Not really my bag. So I left them for the next guy. But on one of the tables, I did find a 90s Lennard O-ring figure that was one of my favorite from my childhood. And the guy, I told the guy that, and he gave it to me, but I gave him the $2 he was asking for the figure. And I think I won him over because I told him that I, for whatever reason as a kid, I had named this figure Captain Carnival. I don't know why. I wish I had an explanation as to why he was Captain Carnival. But he, for anybody who's familiar with the Lennard line from that time frame, he was the guy with an eye patch that had like safari pants on. He had like almost like a gray and light gray and dark gray, like tiger striping. Just kind of looks like a Russian bad guy. And I did, there was a guy walking through after that with a bin just full of random stuff. Again, mainly vintage, but I noticed he had a couple of club figures floating around. So I asked him if I could look through his bin. dug through his bin, and I found one of the club's Night Force Saw Vipers. And it was right at about the same as the eBay price prior to shipping, so I scooped that from him. It's been a figure I've wanted for a little while. I'll pair him up with my 50th anniversary. He's slightly color different, slightly build different. He'll be my Saw Viper commander.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. I don't think you actually picked up anything at all from the swap meet.
In the swap meet, I did, but it was bits and parts. So I was able to complete my Warthog.
Okay.
I got a couple more pieces for the septic tank. Sorry, that took me a second to remember because I was trying to call it the toxo tank. That's what I ended up grabbing out of the swap meet was a handful of brick and brack that completed vehicles or figures for me. For me, it was much more of a social event. I always buy in the last hour of any show anyway. So swap meets for me are usually a little hard because everybody's like, you know, going nuts and going crazy. And I'm slowly plotting my way through and checking out everything and talking to everybody. Even at the Joe Fest lobby swap, I think I made a purchase in the last 15 minutes of that, even though it went on for what, like an hour or two, and I was there the whole time. So it was fine, because after that wound down, after you guys went back to your hotel, because as you said, you weren't in the same hotel, after, you know, all of the PX guys decided they were going to go back to Fox to drink, and everybody else sort of filtered out, it worked its way down. I think the room was Todd, myself, and this guy, Fred. We were the last guys in the room. Todd goes to bed, and Fred and I play we play bar chicken, which, you know, I'm not the guy to play that with because I'm always willing to go. I'm always willing to stay out all night. I'm always willing to, you know, do the thing. So we head to Fox. We meet up with all the PX guys. And I know these guys loosely. You know, I've met half of them once or twice before. I've communicated with them on Facebook forums or posts or whatever. I've seen a couple of their videos. They've seen mine. I'm not great friends with them, but we all know each other. Come 3 a.m., we're better friends. And they are still talking about seeing the sunrise. Fred is down. And my first inclination is, yeah, let's keep going. But I also knew, like, the floor started at 9 a.m. for the preview for early admission, 10 a.m. for general admission, 7 a.m. for vendors. I don't know what time Todd's going to get up, but my plan was to be up and on the floor by 8. So that way, anything that we needed to do with the booth, we could do. Anything that, like, we needed to get done, we could get done. And if everything was fine, I could go around and socialize with Roma and Toy Department and everybody else, right? Toy Attic, you know, all the people that, you know, I'm going to spend all day socializing with anyway, might as well start early. At 3 a.m., we head back to the hotel, and I think I crawled into bed around 3:30 in the morning. For me, that's kind of my normal thing.
I probably should have just wound up going with you because I was so antsy about the show that I didn't really sleep that well, which I don't know why I was so antsy, because when we first got back to the hotel, I went with you into the showroom. You show me, you know, you're in Todd's booth, and we wound up talking with the guys over at the toy department for a few minutes. I didn't snoop around the floor. I got just a quick passing by without seeing, you know, details. It was not a huge show floor, but as I found out the next morning, regardless of how big the show floor was, it was loaded with a lot of sought after items for all sides of G.I. Joe collecting, probably other than 12 inch, I guess. But I slept so bad. I just kept waking up, and I roll over, grab my phone, and it was like 1:30, 3:30, 5:30. But I managed to get enough sleep to not be too groggy in the morning, and I got over. I think I got to the hotel about 8:15, 8:30, I want to say. I don't somewhere in that time frame, we were like number 6 and 7 in line, I want to say, or 4 and 5 in line.
My plan was to be on the floor by 8, and I was. We were doing last minute touch-ups. You know, no matter how done you are, you sleep on it, you wake up the next morning, you know, crowd is about to be there, you're doing your last minute fiddling. And we're just sort of amazed at how many vendors waited until 7, 8 o'clock in the morning to set up for a 9 a.m. door opening. And again, that's not against Qualcomm or even against these vendors. Like, as many comic book shows as I've set up at, like, that's normal. It always amazes me because I like to get in, get it done early, and then go socialize. But that's my own thing. So while we're doing that, you know, the guy that sets up beside me, we're chatting, and, you know, he happens to have an item that I knew you were looking for at a, you know, I sent you a text. You were like, yeah, that's great. So right as the show was opening, I know we were able to find.
We were able to find the number one big ticket item I had for the weekend, which was the club's Footloose figure. While talking to the gentleman at the toy department, I noticed that they had one for a very good deal compared to eBay, but still kind of a benchmark I have not crossed as a collector yet. I'm getting close. You know, Nicole and I chatted about it Friday night, you know, and she said, well, she always says with any high dollar item, she says, well, if it's something you want, just buy it. But also think about, you have X amount of dollars. This is, you know, X amount of percent of the dollars you have to spend. So if you want to buy it, buy it. But is it the best use of your money this weekend? So we went back and forth about that. And when I say we, it's basically me looking up eBay listings and talking to myself out loud and her kind of laughing and chiming in every once in a while. I decided I was going to go for it. I was going to maybe see where I was at midday, but I didn't have to because you texted me when I was in line and you were like, hey, you're looking for the Footloose figure, right? Yes. You sent me a photo. I could see it was in its sealed mailer baggie. You sent me the price, and I've got the money out in line for you right now. So right before you got out to the line with the Footloose figure for me, they had walked through and given everybody who was in the early bird line our patches for being early bird attendees and this little drawstring backpack that both had the Coil logo. It was a really awesome detail. It was not that I needed any incentive to spend the extra couple dollars to be an early bird attendee, but getting a super nice embroidered patch definitely did not hurt.
That patch was great because that logo is incredible. So I don't know who designed the CoilCon logo for this year, or for maybe that's their normal logo, but that snake is amazing. I love that logo.
The logo is awesome. The patch is awesome. The backpack is awesome. Or a little drawstring bag. It's a stretch to call it a backpack. But the logo, on the topic of the logo, the first things I purchased at the show were the Roma Collectibles exclusive figures. Two of which of those figures had the CoilCon logo as like a slide decal on the figures. There were two figures that were not announced prior. So when I came through into the sales floor, I went straight to Roma looking for the single figure I knew that they were doing. Was pleasantly surprised to find that there was two more figures to grab. One of them went with the exclusive and the other was Baroness Ironblood, which is essentially a Kate McLeod cosplay custom figure. And it's awesome. It's a very awesome figure.
Even though I set up the night before, and even though I walked the floor many times before the show was even open, chatting with everybody, including Aaron and Mary Mercenary, I didn't even see those things until I ran into you on the floor when you came by the booth and you were like, did you see these? And you walked me over and showed them to me. And I probably saw them within 5 minutes of them being sold out because they were gone fast. They were incredible figures. I thought they were beautiful. Most of the time at shows like this, I'm usually moving around the show, talking to people, you know, whatever. This particular time, even though, you know, it's a small show, it's known to be a small show, it's not any sort of denigration against it, because as we both said, it's thick with things. It was busy. I spent all day, or most of all day, at the Destro's Toy Den booth. I was helping Todd sell, you know, the stuff he brought. And then I had two long boxes full of carded figures. So I was trying to sell those, as well as all this, you know, loose complete stuff, plus all the bins that he had. It was nuts. I've never stayed at a booth as much as I did at CoilCon. So even though it didn't appear to be a huge show, it was a show that had a lot of stuff and people were grabbing it. We had a great time. And I saw so many people I knew from the Facebook community. If I wasn't helping someone, I was talking to somebody. So there was never a moment wasted for me in that day.
As a customer of the show, it definitely, even right with the early bird, it was pretty steady, I would say, probably up until 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then it kind of slowed down a little bit. I know you had a couple breaks in there because you managed to break away from the table and you strolled up to me with a mailer box, which I was a little bit confused about.
Oh, yeah.
But I knew that you had a figure for me because we had, you know, we had talked about stuff we were bringing each other prior, and you reached into this priority mailbox and pulled out a Red Shadow figure for me, carded. Thanks again. It was awesome. It's already in the star case on my wall. It's unpunched. It is an awesome figure to look at. I, you know, I love the Red Shadows for the little bit I know about them. I think the design is wacky and very cool. I just wish that there was a modern equivalent that had the outrageous helmet.
This is a big weekend for you. Not only did you go vintage, but you went foreign vintage. You're going to get a reputation.
Yeah, one is complete with box and one is carded and unpunched. So I guess I'm already on my way to being a snobby collector. And my knowledge that is about the size of a pea will get the opposite of the reputation I'm already building. I did manage to catch, I think, 3 panels, I want to say.
I missed all of them.
The panels were interesting. I was really looking forward to James Cavanaugh Jr.'s panel, which ended up getting, I don't think canceled is the right word. So the first panel, there was some technical difficulties. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he worked for Kenner/Hasbro. He worked on the 12-inch line. Very cool guy. He was a designer. And he was running these stories about the design process. He had a bunch of interesting stories, and he was running over, and essentially James Cavanaugh just told him to just keep going. He said, "Everybody here has heard my stupid bit about these books. If anybody wants to hear it, come to my table. I'll tell you everything you want to know." He's like, "This is what we're here for. We are hearing from a creator on the brand, a designer on the brand. Like you," he's like, "I would rather sit here and listen to you than me go up there and say the same thing that I've said X amount of times." Now, I haven't seen a James Cavanaugh panel. I've heard it on either What's on Joe Mine or The Full Force at some point years ago. But the second half of this guy's presentation that I caught was really nice. That essentially swallowed the James Cavanaugh panel, which then led into the Paul Aller panel, hosted by Mike Irizarry from What's on Joe Mine. And that was a great panel, and kind of threw out a section for the people there sitting there to ask questions. And then Chris McLeod was live streaming everything, and he was taking questions from the live stream. So it was cool to hear him talk about the comic and hear him kind of give us a brief layout of how he was laying the story out, and that like the first few issues are almost one shots, which I know he said on What's on Joe Mind. But yeah, that was a really good panel. I think I dipped out after that and did a small lap and then found myself back in there for the Darkitects. That panel was awesome. Those three gentlemen were interesting and captivating enough that I was getting excited for G.I. Joe Extreme. Not that their work isn't great, but hearing their excitement from working on a toy line, it was very fun. They showed a lot of like sample drawings and rough sketches for stuff that never made it. One of the guys worked on one of the Jurassic Park lines, the newer Jurassic Park line before Hasbro lost it to Mattel, obviously. And he had plans for this amazing like Mercedes SUV Dino Hunter type vehicle that had very cool play features. And it's a real shame that it never made it, because I guess it got approved and then just went away. It was very worthwhile to catch the panels, which I enjoyed the panels at Joe Fest. So I knew I was trying to budget some time at CoilCon to catch their panels.
We were set up right beside Paula Lore, which I personally was excited for when I saw his name on the table right outside of our booth Friday night during setup. And he was at Fox and the Hound, but I didn't know what he looked like, so I didn't recognize and realize that was him. So I didn't even talk to him until the day of the show. So anytime I had a lull, I would stop over. We would BS. We know a couple comic creators. Like, I mean, he's obviously a comic creator. He knows a ton of people, but we know a couple mutual folks. Really enjoyed talking to him. I'm really enjoying his comic book. I was disappointed that issue 2 came out the week after CoilCon. Of course, he had nothing to do with. I made sure I went to the comic book shop right before the show because I knew he would be there, and I was hoping. He had a few of his titles. He was signing covers and talking to anybody who wanted to have a conversation. I got to meet Mike from What's on Joe Mine. I had never met him before. I'd never seen a picture of him before. I do listen to his podcast, and so, you know, I'm very familiar with his voice, and it was really a pleasure getting to meet him as well. Ran into Kavanaugh, you know, as you've already mentioned, he was there. I ran into him Friday night, and we sort of just picked up where we left off at Cincinnati Toy Show. Had a great conversation. I met Chris 2 years ago. I don't know Chris, but we've all listened to him talk on Full Force. We're all in the same Facebook, Instagram, Twitter communities. We're all sharing the same stuff, talking about the same stuff. Not a huge community by any stretch, even though sometimes it feels like it. So running into him again was really nice. We had some great conversation. So it was nice to be able to run into and chat with these guys, to meet them for the first time or for the second time. This had a lot of great toy, but it's also a great community show. For me, that's always going to be my favorite type of show. I'm more into the community show than the mega show. That said, you know, the toy department was there. He always sets up with HypnoShield. He had Patrick Stewart with him, who has the Articulated Points YouTube channel, which I love. The deep dive that he goes into is great. So it was nice to meet him also for the second time, because I met him at Joe Fest very briefly. Roma Collectibles is there, which I've already mentioned. And Aaron and Mary Mercenary are sweethearts. I really enjoy talking to them. Beyond those two, you know, there were a lot of other toy shops there. So Hive of Villainy was there. He had a lot of great non-G.I. Joe stuff in the G.I. Joe scale. So I don't know if you took advantage of that, because I know you buy a lot of non-G.I. Joe in the 118 scale, but he had a ton of that. Toy Attic, which is Josh Cummins and Jason Hayes, they're well-known in the Facebook community. They had a ton of cool stuff. All the Night Force vehicles, for example, they had all that. Or Jason had all that, and then Josh had a bunch of graded and ungraded carded figures, like high-dollar stuff. Might have been a small show, but it was not a lacking show by any stretch of the imagination, right? Marauders was there, which is totally your playground. You know, Kavanaugh was set up. There were some other older guys that I didn't know that were set up. There were some great booths to go shopping at, or if you're me, to go talking at.
For the amount of vendors were there, the amount of product was insane. I bounced back and forth between the toy department and Roma the same way I did at Joe Fest, where they got 60 to 70% of the money I brought with me. It was actually my smallest venture with Marauders in a real life setting. This is the third time I've seen a in-person Marauders booth. I'm waiting for my big World War II shipment to land. And they had one of the Japanese soldiers that they sent in one of the more recent emails. They had him right in the middle of their display, and I remember I grabbed you the first time I saw you walking around away from the booth. I was like, you have to come look at this figure right now. I dragged you over there, and you know, the detail on that figure was outstanding. I can't wait for the million items I have coming from that Kickstarter to get here. So similar to you, I've never met Mike from What's on Joe Mind. I didn't really have a chance to introduce myself at Joe Fest. I just didn't feel like I had a spot that I felt appropriate to interrupt a conversation and just introduce myself and say I'm a fan of the show. But at Coil, he had a table. So I was able to just walk up to the table, introduce myself, tell him how I felt, and go on my way. You know, I had met Chris McLeod briefly at Joe Fest. Similar thing. He remembered me. We're not on a first-name basis by any means, but he remembered me, said hello. We actually got to spend some time together at the Air Force Museum, which I'll get into a little bit later. I got to introduce myself to Patrick Stewart, which I've heard him talk on podcast a million times over the years. And now, you know, I watch all of the Articulated Points videos. So same thing as Joe Fest. I saw him, but when I saw him, it was after hours. He was sitting at one of the bar areas with a group of his friends. I didn't feel like it was my time to cut in to just say hello and then walk away when they were in the middle of a conversation. So I said, hopefully I'll see him at the next one, which I did. It was a bit overwhelming, the amount of stuff that was there. To echo everything we've both said, it's just for a smaller show, the amount of people and product that was there was very impressive.
The World War II thing was cool. There was a booth beside us that nobody ever showed up to, and it had a sign on it, Darkitex. I didn't know who they were. I didn't realize who they were, rather. Had I realized, I would have been pacing, waiting for them to show up. Since I didn't realize who they were, we had set some stuff over on one of their two tables. When they started to show up, everyone who realized who they were, who was smarter about it than I was surrounding their table. So I just moseyed over, and I was then sucked in by their gravity field and completely abandoned the table, ended up moving my stuff off the second table. It was incredible. They had all of their pitch books out and their sketchbooks out, and their concept art was there. You know, and the first thing I saw was their G.I. Joe Extreme stuff. And then I saw one of them pulled open basically his art book, and he's flipping through it, and he's like, yeah, here's some stuff I designed for G.I. Joe. And it's got the eagle symbol from the movies. What is that? Rise of Cobra symbol. And he's showing me these vehicles, and there's a photo of an APC. And I was like, is it a modern APC? And he was like, the APC is one of my favorite vehicles. So I grabbed an APC, I set it down, and I designed, you know, a futuristic or near future modern version. It had the feel of a troop transport carrier. It was incredible. I was salivating. My mind was blown. I walk over to help somebody who was looking for something. I turn around and they're all gone again. And that's when I found out that, like, you and everybody else are watching their panel and I'm missing it. After their panel, they came back for a short time, but they were just mobbed with people. I never really got much of a chance to talk to them after that. That was a lesson learned. Don't sleep on the people who haven't shown up. Quickly Google who they are, figure out who they are, and be ready when they get there. I had a very humble haul for the weekend. Jason from Toy Attic walks over at some point and sees that we have the Slaughter's Marauders Creo set signed by Sergeant Slaughter. And he was like, oh man, you really need one of these sets. It's amazing. I'm like, well, this one's signed. I'm never going to open this. We're trying to sell it. He's like, well, I have one unsigned. So I get that from him. And I get a couple Fun School Eels, two more to add to the pile. So I'm now up to 8 or 10 Fun School Eels in my...
Those are both carded, right?
Yes. The bubbles are cracking. In one of them, there was a big hole in the bottom and the guy's falling halfway out. Other than that, as I mentioned with the swap meet, I also had some random bits. I completed my Warthog. I think I needed 3 parts for that to complete it. I completed a couple other things, very small. My goal was to sell more than I bought. So I think I made about $200 and I spent about $100. Not bad. I spent less than that once I'm paid back for a few things. And I still had an absolutely amazing weekend.
My haul was pretty decent. I set a goal to not spend all of the money that I brought, which I accomplished. Like you and I had talked before, I kind of was trying to go in with maybe one item that I wanted, which was Footloose, which I got, and then kind of just coast through the rest. And when I saw the thing I wanted, grab it, or, you know, I have my small list of things that I get no matter what, if the price is right. So I'm not going to go through every single individual item I bought because it'd be a little bit much to rattle off. But I ended up getting a couple FSS figures that I wanted loose for a fair deal. I got 2 of the Adventure Team vehicles from the clubs. I don't remember if it was tied to a Joe-Con or what, but they did their 4-inch scale Adventure Team figures, and they did a couple of vehicles. I got the 6-wheeled, I think it was a Spy Troops era little buggy, and I got the Mantis Attack Craft sub, but repainted white with the Adventure Team logos. My very big and funny purchase of the weekend was 11 separate 30th anniversary carded Sergeant Stalker figures. I like to use those for some kitbash customs. Within my first 3 purchases of the day, I had grabbed 2 or 3 of them. Ironically, they're all from the toy department. The very end of my day led to a very funny conversation between myself, Nicole, and HypnoShield, where I wound up buying the final 6 Stalkers that he had, to which I immediately walked over to you and emptied my bag out on the floor like a little kid trick-or-treating to show you that I had like 8 Sergeant Stalker figures.
Much like with my eels, how many of those Sergeant Stalkers are staying carded and how many are coming loose?
Eventually they'll all find themselves out of the packaging. I might keep one and throw it in a starter case just because I do love Stalker and I do love that figure. I have a couple different projects in mind to kitbash out the Sergeant Stalker figures. That figure is sought after because it's a great build of a figure. It's a great camo pattern. It's the only time that figure was released using a green camo pattern. It's a popular figure, and to find it at the price point that I can justify buying 11 is really only at a show. So I had to strike while they were there. I was able to kind of fill out a couple things that I had wanted. Very similar to you, I love the social side of it, and I use this as an opportunity to be more active in talking to people than just hunting the deals. So I was able to, you know, spend a decent amount of time talking to James Kavanaugh at his booth and kind of doing what you did, where people would roll up. I would kind of just step back and disappear for a few minutes. They would leave. I would come back. We'd pick up in our conversation. Bounced between basically him and you most of the day. And then once we got packed up, you had told me that we had dinner plans with a few people from the show. And we wound up at, I believe it was called Flying Saucer Pizza, Flying Pizza, something like that. I'm not quite sure.
I thought that was just a great way to cap the show, was going out to eat pizza with people that we didn't know as well, you know, at the beginning of the day as we knew at the end of the day.
It was a big goal of mine to put myself out there, meet these people in the community that I've heard of or hear from on shows. It was a lot of fun. The pizza was actually pretty decent. After the pizza spot, everybody parted ways, and we entered probably my favorite part of the trip, which was you and I wound up, flapping our gums in the hotel hallway till about, I want to say 1 in the morning, maybe.
It was either 1 or 1:30, but because you were at a different hotel, we needed to make sure that Nicole picked you up before she passed out, because I didn't have a car. I had a lot of fun in the hotel room, in the hotel hallway, because we were, not only were we chatting, but we had the weird security guy. He walks over. You know, I think we might have mentioned a superhero in passing in our conversation. He was like, you guys talk about superheroes? And we were like, sure. And he's like, and one of us, maybe you, said like, and G.I. Joe. And he goes, G.I. Joe, pshaw. And then he proceeds to tell us his opinion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though I don't think that's what we were talking about, until it became super awkward and he just sort of wandered off.
You, I think we were talking about the Snake Eyes movie, and I think I probably somewhere in that line of conversation brought up something about the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, and how, you know, they don't need to necessarily follow such a slow timeline for G.I. Joe. And then this guy came over and kind of talked at us for a few minutes about the movies he's liked and the movies he didn't like. And like you said, immediately displayed his disgust for G.I. Joe. And then he awkwardly moseyed away. And then we talked for about another hour before the people who had rented the area of the show for the next day showed up and started setting up. And they were very polite. They were very understanding that we were just two bozos yapping in a hallway, and they could have told us to beat it at any moment because we were both kind of chilling in their chairs and chilling on the tables and pacing around, and they're trying to set up. But we're two respectful guys, so it's not like we were in their way per se. But yeah, and then it hit that time where Nicole was like, "Hey, I'm coming to get you at this time, so just be ready to go."
We offered to vacate the hallway and we moved when they came around us, and they were like, "You boys, just, you're not in the way. Just keep doing what you're doing." We could hear them like laughing and cutting up and carrying on the other side of the wall at like after midnight. It was kind of cool. Like, we are not part of their tribe, but they were with their tribe and they were having just as much fun in the same room that just like 6 hours earlier we were doing.
Probably my favorite part of the trip was getting to hang out with you, not via Skype, but just do what we do a couple times a week in real life.
We did not take the time to record. We didn't feel like we had to be on the clock. We just talked about everything. It was just a fun hangout. I think the only thing that could have made it better is if we had had comfy couches in the hallway instead of event chairs. But after you guys left, you know, I got back up to the hotel. You know, it took me a little bit to wind down. I think I was in bed by 1:30 or 2.
I was probably around the same. I was pretty exhausted from not really sleeping that well the night before due to excitement like a little kid on Christmas. We had to get up early-ish to get over to the Air Force Museum. I guess I just didn't realize it, but there was a different patch for the Air Force Museum tour, which featured that awesome COIL logo but mixed with the modern Air Force logo. That place is amazing. You gave me the heads up that it was going to be amazing. You also gave me the heads up that it was going to take a very long time, you know, to be prepared to budget a half a day or more just to get through the place, which we stuck with the group for 80% of the tour. And then we kind of had to break off and kind of do a little bit of a speed walk through the last couple hangars because we had a long drive ahead of us. You know, it's about 7.5-8 hours-ish. Factor in stops and everything else. And we kind of hit a point where, you know, we were getting home a little bit later than we had originally wanted to, which isn't a big deal, but it was hard to get out of that place because it's so big and interesting. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to going back to the Air Force Museum on a day that I'm not pressed for time.
I was there, I think, a month before you, and I felt pressed for time as well, but I still like made sure I hit every hangar. It was sort of an amazing thing. And I could go pretty long into one of the old guys that were volunteering who caught me looking at the A-10 Warthog and just would not let me go without giving me every bit of information on the Warthog he had. It was kind of amazing because that's the Rattlers. While you were doing that, Todd wanted to hit the toy department and I wanted to hit House of Plastic. On the way down, we stopped, we had breakfast, we hit a big flea market. There was a video game guy who had the last G.I. Joe video game that Todd needed. We hit the toy department. I expected to see James working because I just assumed that after a show, Chris wouldn't be in, but I was wrong. Chris and Hypno Shield and Patrick Stewart and Cousin Kenny were all there. You know, even though we'd just seen them the day before, we jumped right back into conversation, had a great time. We were there for, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours. Todd and Chris were working on a thing. When we left, we hit House of Plastic, owned by Jerome. I know he's in the Facebook communities. I don't know if he's in Instagram or Twitter. The last couple times I've been up, Jerome and I have missed each other. So I was excited that, you know, I'm in town, place is open, I run in, he's at the Renfest. He always has a great selection of toys, not just G.I. Joe, but just of everything. Ohio is toy heaven. Every toy shop is amazing. So I think the differentiator is not which shop has the amazing stuff, but which shop has the people that are part of the community and fun to talk with and everything else. And that's why out of everywhere we could have stopped, we stopped at Toy Department and House of Plastic. It made for a really rejuvenating trip. 5.5 hours on the road, we could not have been more jazzed. We got out of the car still talking about the show, talking about what's next. It was wonderful. I got to hang out with you. I got to meet Nicole, which was a huge honor for me because I've heard her name a lot. I've heard her stories a lot.
I spent the entire car ride home talking about the show, talking about hanging out with you, talking about next year's CoilCon, already talking about trying to figure out an extended weekend that either I or we can make it to Nashville to hang out with you and do the loop of all the Nashville area toy shops.
Mike and John, who run the show, did a great job. They were personable, very friendly. I really enjoyed CoilCon. I recommend it to anybody, even though it's not the mega show. It is definitely quality.
That concludes this episode of Order of Battle. If you'd like to contact us to share your thoughts or opinions, email us at orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. Connect with us on social media platforms. Our Instagram is Order of Battle Pod, and our Twitter is Order of Battle PD. Thank you for joining us.